time the children can be dismissed. We just continue to look at Father, we bow our hearts before you and we thank you for this time that we've had to enjoy your presence. And Lord, you are so holy and we're not. You are so righteous. You are so good. You are so kind. You're so patient with each and every one of us to think that we can come before you as the God who spoke the universe into existence with millions and millions and trillions of stars and planets and the intricacy of just the human body and just the things that we look at, behold, on the earth, the trees, the grass. Lord, every cell, every fiber speaks of the glory of your name. Lord Jesus, we bow and surrender to you as our God. And Lord, I would pray today that through my human weakness, somehow you would communicate your word. God, I pray that you would just set aside my heart and my agenda, my way of thinking, Lord, and let your truth come forth. God, I pray that you'd strengthen us as your body, Lord, that we would be able to stand and withstand and keep our ground in this evil day. And Father, I pray that your word would touch and change and transform our hearts, that you would awaken us, God, that you set our hearts on fire for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're talking about the shield of faith today. We're talking about faith and what it is, but Ephesians chapter 6, I want to read verse 16. It says, in all circumstances, that's not just the bad times, that's the good times too. He says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. What kind of faith is this? That's what we're going to look at today. There was a story of a missionary, Robert and Mary Moffat. They 10 years they labored faithfully in a country or in a town in Botswana. And without one ray of encouragement to brighten their way, they could not report a single convert. Can you imagine 10 years of preaching the gospel and not a single convert? Finally, the directors of the mission began to question the wisdom of continuing the work. You've heard of those folks before. In fact, I've been one of those. Should we really keep this going? Because it doesn't look like there's any results. If God's called us to do it, we got to do it and stick to it. And the thought of leaving their post broke their heart because they were devoted and they felt sure God was in their labors and they would see people turn to Christ. They stayed a year or two longer and darkness reigned. Then one day a friend of England sent word to the Moffats and she wanted to send them a gift and she asked them what they would like. Trusting that in time the Lord would bless their work, Mrs. Moffat said, send a communion set. I'm sure it's soon going to be needed. God honored the woman's faith. They sent the communion set. And God honored the dear woman. And the Holy Spirit moved upon the hearts of the villagers. And soon a little group of 6 converts were united to form the first Christian church in that land. Sorry. This touches my heart. The communion set from England was delayed in the mail. But on the very day before the first commemoration of the Lord's Supper in Botswana, the set arrived. For those 6 converts. That's faith. That's the kind of faith that extinguishes the fiery darts of evil. And we are living in an evil land and the devil keeps people from getting saved. He pervades in darkness over our country, over Latvia, over the U.S. But God has given us something very powerful that we can access, and that is our faith. And just to give a simple definition of faith at the beginning of her sermon there is it's the conviction of truth of anything. But it doesn't stop there, because the second part carries the idea of trust and a holy fervor born of faith. And here's the components of faith. First of all, relating to God, that it's the conviction that God exists. He's the ruler of all things, and He is the provider of all things, just like that missionary believed. In relating to Christ, it's believing that we are eternally saved. But in this passage today, He's not talking about the faith. He's talking about our faith, the faith that we have. In other words, it's the idea of trust or confidence springing up from the faith that we've received at salvation. It's a trust and undying confidence in the Lord. And I've told this illustration many times, and I'm going to share it again, but George Mueller was a man of prayer and a man of faith, and they would get up with, and he stepped out and had orphanages for children that didn't have homes, and that was a big problem at the time in England and Britain in that area, and it still is today all over the world. And he had no money, had nowhere to get milk and breakfast for these kids, and so he would set the table and have the kids sit down and said, "We have no milk," and they would say, well, they would pray and trust that God was going to provide. Well, by the end of the prayer, a milk truck broke down outside and said, "We don't know what to do with this milk. It's going to spoil if you don't take it." He was a man that had that kind of power and faith. He really believed and trusted God for the next meal. We may not be in a position like that yet. Maybe the day is coming when we will be. And so God wants us to understand and develop this kind of faith now. And as we look at this passage, He says, in all circumstances, take up. In other words, this is something that we have to take action with and action for on faith. Now, there was two different kinds of shields during that time and even before that time that they would use. One was a small little shield that they'd use in hand-to-hand combat. But the shield He's talking about is, it comes from the word door, and it was 4 feet high and 2.5 feet wide. Now, if you were down under that, even a 6 foot person would be able to hide completely behind that. It was made of two layers of laminated wood, covered first with a linen and then with an animal hide. And then it was bound on the top with iron, and it absorbs javelins and arrows. And so because of that two-ply, and because of the animal hide, and because of the material that's on it, when the enemy would shoot those darts that are fired, normally it would burst a shield into flames, or even if it was a metal shield, that thing would bounce down and it would start a fire in the city. Well, these things would absorb and the flame would go out. This is the kind of shield that God's talking about here in this passage. So it does three things. One, the shield of faith provides complete coverage for the believer. In other words, the enemy is going to try to attack you in all your weak areas. You cannot leave a single spot exposed. And so He says, this shield of faith that I'm giving you, and we're going to talk about how that plays out in a minute, is going to keep you from being exposed in any way to the demon. It's the devil. It's 2 feet wide, 4 feet tall. You can hide completely behind it. Secondly, the shield of faith is a strong defense when it is linked with the faith of others. This is the other thing of these shields, the characteristic, is that they would latch together with their fellow soldier's shield. So if they were being attacked by the enemy, they would have strong faith because they could attach their shields together and the enemy couldn't get anything by. Don't fight alone as a Christian. And this is one of the privileges God has given us with the shield of faith, is that I can latch my shield of faith with my wife when we get attacked by the evil one. And even greater, I can latch my shield with all of your shields, and when we face something that is difficult, that's great faith. my belief in the existence of God plus your belief in the existence of God, my belief in the promises of God plus your belief in the promises of God hooked together, although someone might doubt or I might have a day of doubt, if I'm hooked into those other shields, that's going to carry me on. And that's why the Bible says, don't give up meeting together. That's why the Bible says, encourage one another daily so that you'll be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, because God wants us to hook our shields together. So that's the second part. The third part is that it extinguishes and strikes down any arrows shot at the believer. As we already mentioned, that absorbing material, when the devil would shoot that, it would be like fiery darts. Now, what kind of fiery darts does the devil shoot at us? There's several different kinds in the Bible, but I'm going to highlight a few of them. And one, the major one, is doubting God. So that's basically when we doubt, we put our shield down. So that goes to expose us. So there's different ways that we doubt God, isn't it? Isn't there? We have to trust in Him. We have to keep our shield of faith up in the air. There was a 3-year-old boy from Rhode Island who went down to the seacoast to fly a kite. And he's never flown a kite before, and he had obvious doubts. Imagine a little 3-year-old's eyes looking at this. How is this thing going to work? Is it really going to go up in the air? His father assured him that all was well and the kite would go up as planned. As he unraveled the string and watched the kite go up, he was heard to say, "I knew it would fly, Daddy. You said it would." Simple statement, but yet so profound. I knew it would fly. When you're in the midst of a battle, when you're in the midst of a trial and things are not going right in your life, you're discouraged, you're depressed, it seems like the ministry is not going, it seems like things at work are falling apart, look at the promises of God's Word. Daddy, I knew you'd get me through this because you said you would. That's the kind of faith and confidence that God's called us to have in Him. The first way the devil eases his way in is that we doubt God's goodness. It's easy to doubt God's goodness when we're experiencing sickness, or we're being persecuted, or we had a financial loss, or a job loss, or we've been hurt by other people, or we've lost friends, and all these things that can happen in our life. It's easy to doubt the goodness of God. But the shield of faith, that faith in that, while I'm feeling like everything is falling apart, I know God is good. I'm going to skip ahead because one of my favorite verses in the Bible is in, my mind just went blank. It's in Genesis 50. Genesis 50. Genesis 50, verse 20. Joseph, who did what was right and was thrown in jail, was sold as a slave by his own brothers. A remarkable life, a remarkable story. He comes to the end, near the end, when he was a ruler over Egypt after being a slave. And his brothers come, the ones that sold him in slavery. And they were afraid that he was going to kill them all and wipe them all and get vengeance. But this is what he says, and I think this is one of the most remarkable statements of faith in the Word of God. He says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." Because all that Joseph went through, God put him in a position of authority. He saved food. He saved his whole nation. He saved his own land. That's a statement of the purposes, the sovereign purposes of God that gets us through. Do you have that kind of faith and trust in God? If I were Joseph rotten in the prison for doing what was right, I don't know what might happen. I hope that God would give me the faith to believe that God's going to get me through this at the time. But this is the shield of faith. This is the stuff of it. He gets us to doubt God's goodness. He gets us to doubt who God is. Is God really God? Is Jesus really alive? Is He really God? Does God really exist? If you were honest, how many of you ever woke up and said, "I don't really feel like God is really real. What if this whole thing is a sham?" I've said that. I'm a pastor. I've woken up and said, what if this whole thing is not even real? But the truth of the matter is that when the devil comes in, and that's what he wants to do, is to get our shields down because we get discouraged, and he can destroy us and our testimony and our witness for Jesus Christ. Doubting the truth of the gospel. Have you ever woken up and said, I don't really feel saved today? Maybe my wife would say, I woke up one day and said, you don't act saved today, Michael. The devil gets us to doubt what Jesus has done. And if he can get us to doubt what Jesus has done, even if we made a sin or we've messed things up, we'll continue to mess things up instead of asking forgiveness and overcoming it, because we doubt our salvation. We doubt what Jesus has done for us. Second thing, the dart that he throws at us is sensuality and lust. That's just the lust of the flesh. It's getting what we want. PJ had talked about the problem. It's all over the world with lust and with pornography. Everything that we watch on TV, everything that's on the sign around us is feeding that desire. Kent Hughes said in his commentary, and I like how he words this, because it's fiery darts. The devil's trying to start a fire in you. Lust is one of the most fiery darts that we can have. That can burn the whole house down. It says, we all have lusts within us that are so easy to ignite. All that is needed is the tiniest flame, and we are a roaring fire. So we are assaulted with hot shafts of sensuality, foul, diseased arrows of degrading passions, smoking arrows of materialism. And that brings us to the third one, materialism and greed. Exodus, well, and before we say that, I want to read this other quote. He says, as the arrow flies towards us, our rationalizations come so naturally. And my heart can so echo this, and I hope yours, I know yours can too. If God didn't want me to have this, then why did he make me with such a desire for this thing, this person, and pleasure? Have you ever said that when you've been tempted to sin? If God made me this way, why isn't it right to do? If I have this desire, this lust in my heart, how come it's not right? My neighbor has it. He does it. And he is doing pretty well. But then there comes God's word. As in Exodus 27, it says, you shall not covet your neighbor's, your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife. I am the Lord your God. This is what faith is. It rests on the truth of God's word. See, when that fire of materialism and greed comes in, and we say, you know what, I just want to have more because everybody else around me has more. I've seen people, and I know that I've dealt with that in my own life. You see someone have a big, huge house and a pool and a car. And in fact, this is a problem that's happening right now in Kiev in the Ukraine, because they've discovered the credit card, is that, wow, these people can have a fancy car and they can have a house, so they're getting it all on credit and going into debt just so they can look like they are doing well, but they're really not. And that's basically what many Americans are doing today. It's materialism, it's greed, it's a lust for more, digging ourselves deeper and deeper into debt. Because if the devil can get us into debt, he's got us. That's one of the ways he attacks. Materialism and greed. How about illness and tragedies and persecution? Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, don't fear these people that can harm your body, but fear the one that can cast your soul into hell. How about pride and vanity and selfishness? And all these passages of Scripture I'd encourage you to look up later, because we don't have time to go into this today. But then, of course, there's lies that the devil feeds us. These fiery darts, they're internal things. They're things that we think inside of our minds. I'm really not qualified to be a good Christian. Or I definitely don't have the faith that Sister PJ has to give up everything and give everything to everybody. I don't have that. So I might as well just give up. What would have happened if PJ would have given up when she maybe thought that years and years ago when God first called her? into ministry. It's believing in the truth of God over the lies that the devil speaks into our hearts. Now let's talk about how does faith work to extinguish the darts of the evil one. A simple statement. As the believer trusts in God and His Word, the shield goes up and the fiery arrow falls to ashes. It's simple as what that little boy said with the kite flying, "Daddy, you said it. I knew it was going to happen." Now, I want to encourage you to give up kind of all those religious titles and those, like, you know, sometimes people pray in King James and stuff like that. How about, "Dad, Jesus said if we want to come into the kingdom of God, we want to come in as children. So, Dad, I believe that you said it. I'm not going to try to rationalize this thing. I'm not going to try to intellectualize it to death. I am just going to say, God, you said it. I believe it." And that causes those fiery darts to extinguish. First of all, faith helps us understand. And when we have faith, when we have that trust in the things of God, number one, we realize God is in control and works everything out for our good. One night, there was a house that caught fire, and there was a young boy that was forced to go up on top of the roof. And the father stood on the ground below with outstretched arms saying, "Jump! I'll catch you!" And he knew the boy had to jump to save his life. And all the boy could see was the flames, the smoke, and the blackness. It was nighttime. As can be imagined, he was afraid to leave the roof. His father kept yelling, "Jump and I'll catch you!" But the boy protested and said, "Daddy, but I can't see you." But the dad said in reply, he said, "But I can see you. Jump." When it comes to this kind of trust in the control of God, God says, "I can see you. I know what's going to come down the road in your life. And this trial might seem difficult at the time, but I know what it's going to produce in you. It is for your growth. It is for your goodness." Just like Joseph did in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 that we just read earlier. "God meant it, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for my good." Jump, God says. Have faith that I will do what I say I will do because I'm watching you. You may not be able to see through the fog of your trial right now, but jump. Trust in my word. So in all reality, this is not even as bad as the boy's condition because it's not blind faith because we have the promises of God's word that we can see and look at with our eyes. It's built on a solid foundation of truth. But when God says, jump and believe, jump off your cliff of doubt, jump off your cliff of selfishness, of pride, and put your trust in me. The second thing that faith helps us understand is that we get a reality of eternity. When we have faith in the things of God, we don't get so bogged down by the wickedness of the here and now, which leads a lot of people to sit around singing Bill Gaither songs until they pass away, hoping they'll pass away tomorrow. And Glory Land, I'm not saying those he's a bad artist or anything like that, but I'm saying the bulk of the songs talks about heaven and talks about Glory Land, and I see a lot of people misusing those songs and sitting around in their rocking chairs waiting to die while in Glory Land, and they're not doing anything for Christ. Now, PJ gave us her age, and she might like Bill Gaither. She probably listens to him, and she's probably excited about going to heaven, but she's not sitting around waiting to die. She's living for the glory of God, and I hope that I will too when I get up into that age, if I make it to that. And praise God if I go before that, but if I don't, even greater, that God could use me and could use you with that kind of faith that causes us to trust in the eternal. What we go through now, it says in Romans chapter 8, you can look it up later if you don't believe me, it says, Listen, I'm going to paraphrase it. The junk you're going through right now, the extreme wickedness, the extreme pain, the extreme loss, the extreme sorrow, nothing compared to the glory when we see Jesus face to face. It's nothing. I get just a little bit of scratch on my knee or a limp or arthritis in the back and it's all over. It's not worth comparing. The glory that's to come, that's the eternal perspective that faith gives us. Not only that, but it shows us that the greater power and love and forgiveness than any physical strength and weapon we can come up with. Forgiveness. It shows us also and helps us realize the sinful condition of every human. In 1 John 5:4, it says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, what? Even our... Anybody know that scripture? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Even our faith. So since you didn't know that verse, now you can memorize it. So it's a good verse to memorize. Because that's what faith helps us understand, that we have victory, that God is in control through the garbage of our life, that we have an eternal realm that's not going to compare to the short 89, maybe some of us live 90 years, but that's still short in comparison to forever with God, serving Him in His kingdom. See, faith makes us intimate with God, because the little boy, he had to trust his daddy to jump off the roof. And when we trust God, we become intimate with Him. And John Calvin says, faith is not a distant view, but it's the warm embrace of Christ. I'll read that again. Faith is not a distant view, but it's the warm embrace of Christ. Faith is demonstrated when we rest in God's character, His person, His word. It's belief plus trust. Now, last of all, today, how do we fight with faith? Faith is not designed for us to fight with conventional earthly wisdom. Now, when I think about fighting against the devil, or when I think about winning a battle that's going on in my life, or if I'm dealing with someone that's evil in my family, or causing struggle, or gossiping, faith is not fighting fire with fire. Faith is not getting people back for what they've done. I'm going to repay evil for evil. And the Bible talks about that in many places. And you can look up that passage. So that's not what faith is. Because remember, the shield of faith has that fur. It has that material. It extinguishes the fire. It doesn't fight fire with fire. It puts the fire out. Number two. Faith causes the believer to fight in a way that puts out the fire of the enemy from a position of peace and trust in God. Now remember, last week we talked about having our feet ready with the gospel of peace. And we talked about the simple definition of peace is well-being. In other words, I am satisfied and I'm secure in what God's word says. Just like that boy says, Dad, I knew it was going to happen. I'm satisfied and secure that kite's going to fly. No matter what, because I believed you at your word. That brings about a sense of well-being and health in our life. If you want to be healthy, we fight from our position of peace. And we can only have peace if we trust God at His word. Joseph could only have peace when he's taken to jail for doing what was right, from fleeing from temptation, because he trusted in God's word. It fights from a position of satisfaction and security. And then it also fights from a lifestyle of worship. There was a traveler that was coming along and he came up to the Mississippi River in the winter. And he discovered that there was no bridge there to cross. And fortunately it was river. And the great river was sheeted over with ice. But the traveler was afraid to trust himself to it, and not knowing how thick it was. And finally, with infinite caution, he crept on his hands and knees and managed to get halfway over. I mean, that would be me. I'd be taking a stick, taking another step, another stick. Because I didn't have the information I needed, how thick the ice was. And then he heard, yes, he heard from behind him, singing to the top of his lungs. He turned around and out came another traveler with a four-horse load of coal. Singing away as he comes across the river. You imagine how he felt crouched down and this guy was sailing by. Folks, we know how thick the ice is. We can go across singing. We can go through trials singing. We can go through persecution singing, like the Apostle Paul and Peter did in jail when they were worshiping the Lord. And in the Old Testament, how did they fight the battle when they went to Jericho? They put the musicians in front. Why? Because they believed in the power and the character of God. It is worship and prayer that gives us the faith to believe. And if we have faith, worship will result from it. If we don't have faith, we'll go our way crawling on our knees across the ice of life. And God says, you have the information. You know the ice is thick. Get up and get your four horses and your load of coal and sing as you go across the river into the glory land. There you go. Faith fights from a position of trusting in the name of the Lord. And if you would turn to 1 Samuel 17 in the Old Testament, First Samuel 17, verse 45. We have the story of David and Goliath, and we'll come back to that full circle. We touched on that well last week, but I want to read this. Because faith fights from trusting in the name of the Lord. And this is the bottom line of faith, is believing God says is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. Verse 45, he says, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the army of Israel. Can you imagine yourself saying, devil, you've come at me with sickness. You've come at me with disorder in my family. You've come at me with persecution at work. That's a lot of things. But I trust in the name of the Lord. Now, how does that balance out on the scale here? He says, whom you've defied. He says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. He believed that. And I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hand. That's faith. We can say, devil, demons, you're bird food. Is that what David said to Goliath? You're bird food, because I trust in the name of the Lord. God will deliver the enemy into our hand. He will show his glory. And George Mueller, that missionary that had the orphanage, says, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. God will save us. God will fight for us. The battle belongs to him. God will bring about justice on the earth. So when the believer trusts in his name, Hudson Taylor, another missionary, went to China, and they were in a channel on the Malay Peninsula, nearing an island, and the missionary heard an urgent knock on the door. He opened it. He said, Mr. Taylor, we have no wind, and we're drifting towards an island where the people are heathen, and I fear that they might be cannibals. So this is a dire situation. This is reality during that time. He's going cold turkey, and there's certain islands that you just didn't go to during that time, you'd be eaten. You would be the food. And so he said, well, why are you coming to me? What can I do? He comes out of the ship and he says, well, I know that you're a man of faith and I understand that you believe in God. Can you pray for wind? He said, all right, Captain, I want you to put the sail up. And the captain said, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to look up like a fool around all these tough shipmen if I put up the sail. And finally, from much pleading from Hudson Taylor, he put up the sail. 45 minutes later, he returned and found the missionary still on his knees. And he said, you can stop praying now because we've got more wind than we know what to do with. That's faith. See, when we trust in the name of God, we're putting up the sail. Even though there's no wind, God says that there will be through that trial that you're going through right now. If God promises to provide for you, if God promises that everything that happens in our life is for our good, like it says in Romans 8:28, God gives everything for our good because it's purpose and plan in our life. We will be able to run into battle with full confidence, like David said, God will fight for us. That doesn't sound like God's chosen, frozen in the pews. That sounds like people that get up and they actually believe God's word and they run into battle. They will advance into battle because in 2 Corinthians it says we walk by faith, not by sight. By sight, there's a wall there. By faith, there's a God who delivers. By sight, there is defeat. But faith, there is a God who brings victory. We'll withstand any attack from the enemy, and we'll be able to hold our ground. He says, stand firm. Take up the shield of faith in all circumstances, good or bad, because it can quench the fiery darts of the evil one. This same Hudson Taylor from the China Inland Mission wrote to his wife when they were in a very difficult time. They were down to nothing. And this is what he wrote to his wife. We have 25 cents and all the promises of God, with exclamation point. Will you pray with me? God, I just thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we come right now face to face with it, and we ask your forgiveness for our doubt. We ask your forgiveness for looking at the earthly circumstances. And God, I just pray that you would enable us, that you would teach us and help us to spiritually understand this spiritual principle that you've given us in your word, to take up the shield of faith. And God, I pray that you'd be right now with a Christian, Lord, who's been tired of holding up the shield and has put it down or is in a place of doubt. God, I pray that you would just bring your confidence into their hearts and souls right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would be with that person who's hoping for something in their life and they've been waiting and waiting and waiting. They've been maybe praying for a family member to get saved. God, I pray that you give them the faith to believe. God, that you give them the faith to get up and go on and fight and yell out to the devil, your bird food, because I trust in the name of the Lord. You come at me with physical attacks. I come at you in the name of the Lord. God, I just pray that you would usher in that authority and power in our lives and into our prayer lives, into how we live out our lives. And I pray that you bless your people. In Jesus' mighty name, all God's people said, amen.